24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google Page 1? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music while learning the secrets to success in music, technology, and business. Please follow us online at www.ladyze.com and on all social networks at ladyze, Lady Z. Please pull out your phones if you're listening to this episode on the Bashani Radio app, and you can keep your audio while you switch to Instagram and follow me on Instagram at ladyze. Now, my next guest is a phenomenal woman. She's a filmmaker, videographer, entrepreneur, and she's also a fellow member of Connected Women of Influence and the founder of Blue Child Entertainment. She is the force behind Women Lead TV at Connected Women of Influence and just a phenomenal woman altogether. I would like to present to some and introduce the others, none other than Landy Maduro. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Hanging in there, of course, you know.
Okay. Hanging in there. I know you're just keeping up with all of this craziness with the whole, you know, coronavirus situation.
Exactly. Yeah,
but, you know, I'm staying safe and staying at home, and I'm glad to see that you're doing the same. So here we are. And I wanted to ask you, what drew you to film? How did you get involved in the business?
Sure. So I actually always wanted to act, always loved movies. My dad was a big sci-fi buff. And but I started modeling first. So I was a model, and then got tired of trying to stay a size zero and I hate auditioning. So those two things aren't the easiest things when you are trying to break into the industry. But I decided to go to school for photography, actually. So I became a photographer first, kind of following in my father's footsteps, who was a photographer when I was a kid. He did wedding photography. So went to photography school, started doing a lot of photography, headshots, things like that, which came natural because I was an actor. I knew how to coach actors through the headshot process. And then decided, you know what, I don't see enough diverse filmmaking, and I wanted to start making films. And it helped that I went to photography school because I understood lighting and composition and camera angles. So I just started writing and producing my own projects, which parlayed into other people asking me to do theirs. And it just kind of grew from there, and I launched my production company, Blue Child Entertainment.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. So how long has Blue Child Entertainment been along, and share with us some of your projects you've worked on?
Sure. So we've been an official business since 2012, and I have done a little bit of everything. From a film perspective, we did a documentary on prostate cancer in the African American community called The Silent Killer, which definitely...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which opened a lot of doors for me because we ended up teaming up with nonprofits and taking the film on a national tour. And actually in November, we took it to the Bermuda Cancer Center, and we were looking to go to Europe, but that's kind of on hold due to everything going on with the virus. So that film, even though we finished it in 2017, took us about 6 years, but it still has a life, and it has opened so many doors for me that I wasn't expecting. I was doing it just to help men with prostate cancer, but it's given a lot of attention to me as a filmmaker, which has been awesome. And then we do a lot of production work with corporations. So I do a lot of online course shooting, small business commercials, kind of things of that nature, as well as still keeping the photography side of my business.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. So what was the catalyst that got you, motivated to do the documentary on prostate cancer?
Well, that is such a funny story. So a friend of mine, who his father had prostate cancer and his brother had prostate cancer, and he knew he was at risk also being African-American. Prostate cancer tends to run more in African-American men. They tend to get it at younger ages with more aggressive forms of disease. So he knew he was at risk, and he was like, but I don't hear anyone talking about it, not at the barbershop, not at church. Like, I want to bring light to this. And, me not having a horse in the game, I was like, wow, I didn't know that either. And how could I help? So we started researching. I agreed to direct the project, and I started writing it, and I started just learning how all these men, they don't know where their prostates are in their body. It's taboo to talk about it because they don't like the exam. It was just fascinating to me. And so about 6 months into doing the research on the film, my father got diagnosed with stage 1 prostate cancer. And so one, I was glad I had the information so I could share it with him when he went to his doctor. And we were able to make educated decisions on what steps he should take. And then my dad also agreed to be in the movie. So it became more of a movement, not just a movie. Like, I started getting with the nonprofit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a labor of love. It's one of those movies I can't put down because even though it's done and it's been done and I'm working on other film projects and other projects, every time I meet a man who has prostate cancer, you get connected to them. The men in our film, I care about them, and so I want to help in any way I can. And so just trying to, educate people and share the information.
Right.
And hopefully.
So how can people view this documentary? Where can they stream it?
Sure. So we're actually working on that right now. We were only doing live events, but of course we're not doing that now. They can always watch the trailer if they go to thesilentkillerdoc.com. And if you email us there, we will definitely email you when it becomes available on streaming. So we're actually working on that.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So what are the reasons why prostate cancer is such a taboo for men to talk about? Like, what did you find in your research?
Oh, most of them don't like the digital rectal exam where they know a doctor is going to stick a finger in their rectum. That's what they shy away from, the sexual connotation connected to that. They're just like, oh, absolutely not. Ain't nobody doing that to me. I can't tell you how many men I've heard that from, and especially the younger ones. And it's like, it's funny when we do the screenings, men who would never talk about it come up to me afterwards to try to pull me aside and say, hey, I'm having this symptom, or I'm having this, or I'm having that. Uh-huh. What should I do? So I always try to have educational information now at every screening, because I don't want any man to leave feeling confused, or, you know, when we start showing them some of the symptoms and they're realizing they have those symptoms, that now they're terrified, because that doesn't necessarily mean you have prostate cancer, but it does mean you should get it checked out.
Now, what are the symptoms of prostate cancer?
So usually in the early stages, it doesn't have symptoms like most cancers, which is what makes it so deadly. By the time you start having symptoms, you probably have aggressive forms of disease. Mm-hmm. Some of the symptoms are frequently urinating, pain in the lower abdomen. Those are like kind of the main ones. Mm-hmm. But again, once you start feeling that,
right,
it spread.
So how long, I mean, at what age should men start getting checked for it?
Excellent question. So they used to say 50, but they're stating now for African American men, they should get tested as early as 40. And that is because a lot of African American men end up having aggressive forms of disease if they wait past their 40s, especially any man who is African American or has a history of prostate cancer, no matter what their race. So if their father or brother or uncle have it, they need to get tested at 40.
Gotcha. So, man, so when you created this documentary, like, how did you write this? I know your father's involved, but what was the approach you took to putting this documentary together?
Sure. And it's funny you say that, because my filmmaking partner, Chris, that's the one who came to me and, you know, told me his situation. He just wanted to like go and have these group discussions, which I thought would be good. But as you know, men don't like to talk, and getting them to talk about their prostates, that is like not really happening. So I thought, let's find some men who are dealing with it and follow them. And then we have a host, a friend of mine who's an actor. His name is Rico Ross. He's traveling with us. We traveled around the United States, and we interviewed these men and kind of followed their journey. And then we interviewed healthcare professionals and scientists, trying to get more information about what causes this. And I think most men who come and see it, because, you know, usually we get a lot of pushback, I don't want to see that, and it's going to be boring. But when they connect, when they see the men who are in it who have prostate cancer, and they connect with their stories, and they're like, oh my gosh, I see myself in them. Because we try to get men from all walks of life. So we have a hip hop mogul, Alonzo Williams, who got Dr. Dre's career started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've got a family man who's my dad, and then we had a guy who was health, wellness, vegan. He's actually the only person who passed away in our movie. And then we have got all walks of life.
Wow, that documentary sounds really powerful, and I can't wait to see it.
So
tell me, like, you know, you started Blue Child, you know, entertainment, you were inspired by your father, who's a photographer, and then you made that transition. Like, how did you know when it was time for you to pivot your business, you know, since when you started it?
You know, it's funny you asked that question, because I remember trying to pivot and it wasn't the right time and nothing worked. You know what I mean? Like, when you're trying to do something, nothing worked. I wanted to work on this film project. I pulled in, you know, a friend who's an acting coach and a friend who's a choreographer, who are extremely talented, work in the industry. They were my personal friends. They kept clashing, like nothing was working. And I was like, what is the problem? Like, I don't understand. I want to do this. And so I put it down for a while and just focused on my photography. And maybe 4 years later, I picked it up again and reached out to those same people, kind of forgetting about the drama that had happened previously. Mm-hmm. And everything flowed, no problem. Yeah. Like, they worked together, they got along. It was like, it was so easy. And I thought, it wasn't the right time.
Right, right, right.
I was forcing something that wasn't ready.
Right, right.
Absolutely. So I think we all tend to do that in business. You know, we decide in our heads we want something, but maybe we haven't planned it out properly. Maybe we hadn't looked at, you know, what are the projections, if this works, if this doesn't, all that kind of stuff. And when you force those things, it never works out, ever.
So what are the steps to making a successful documentary?
Well, in regards to the documentary, that was definitely a learning process. I would say don't try to outline everything or outline it, but don't think that you can stick to a structure because mm-hmm. you're dealing with real life. And, you know, once you start meeting people, be open to go another direction as they introduce mm-hmm. you to things that you
flexible. Have to know
about. Exactly. Like, for instance, in our film, I hadn't thought about the church perspective, especially in the African-American community. Church and the Lord are major to us. Most of us right. grew up in a church,
right.
in a holiness church. And so even
or
though I did too.
Or a Baptist church.
Exactly.
Those are like the big three.
Exactly.
Well, and actually four. There's AME, Baptist, Pentecostal, Holy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And even though I grew up in a Pentecostal church, I wasn't thinking about that perspective until mm-hmm. we interviewed one of the men who had introduced us to a pastor in Houston, Texas. And that pastor was really trying to bring this information to his church.
Right.
He asked, could he be part of the film? And right. interviewing him, and he got three other pastors. We did a panel discussion, and to hear these men of God talk about a very human situation on a non-spiritual right. level, but still including spiritual elements. It was like, we needed this in our movie because now we got all the people who say, well, God will deliver me. And the pastors are saying, yes, but faith without works is dead. So what right. are you doing?
Right. And a wise man sees danger and prepares him or herself.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was yeah. like, you know, being open, that made it so much more powerful. We were able to add another element. So I would definitely say the first thing is just let things happen organically. Have your outline, but mm-hmm. then see where it takes you. See where these people take you.
Yeah, don't be afraid to be flexible.
Exactly.
So for the listeners who are watching this on YouTube with the video, I have to apologize because I was looking at the screen and I was looking at Landy, and I was like, why don't I see my face? My video was off. I but here I am.
And you look beautiful, by the way. I like your earrings.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I haven't worn these earrings in a while. I couldn't find my other ones, my favorite ones. So I had to go to the other ones. So. It's true. It's true, Mom. I couldn't find my favorite ones. So. Yeah, so I want to transition to talking about video when it comes to a business context, commercial video. I don't know what the term you would use for it, but I think commercial video would work. What strategies have you found that really help convey a business's value proposition effectively through the medium of video?
Awesome question. I think the first thing is make sure your videos are in line with the brand that you projected for your business. The mistake I see a lot of, you know, small business owners make who are just trying to do it on their own is their videos look nothing like when you go to their website or look nothing like if you visit their business. And those things all need to be cohesive. So the colors that you're using for your website, you know, try to have them in your video, the same type of font and text. You want everything to feel like it is cohesive. That way you're staying true to your brand. And sometimes that means planning it out. That doesn't mean on Monday you have a shoot on Tuesday and think that it's going to be this awesome, elaborate thing. You kind of have to go through that planning phase of making sure you get it right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great advice. You know, I just finished editing some videos for my brand, and that was one of the struggles, is just, you know, making sure the branding was consistent as possible, consistent as possible. The logos, the colors, everything. So
everything. Yeah. And that's good. That's good that you did that, because a lot of people forget it. You know, where they get this idea and you're like, oh, I got this great idea. Okay, but that doesn't look like anything else that you have.
Right. So it's really important to be mindful about that. So what else would you recommend for business owners?
I would say, and this is something actually I was just shooting a tutorial for, especially right now. You know, so many of us are being forced to pivot. Especially if you have like a service-based business.
Absolutely.
Now you're trying to figure out, how can I do this virtually? And sometimes translate virtually. If you're a nail technician, how does that translate virtually? You know, if you're a masseuse. So for those who are really trying to figure out that pivot of doing video now through mediums like Zoom or shooting more tutorial things, there's just some basic things to keep in mind, like making sure that you're lit well, making sure that, you know, it really doesn't matter what you're shooting on, but making sure your camera is in front of you, not in your lap, because up your nose is not an attractive shot, no matter. Would you be surprised how many people have their cameras down here and are wondering? I'm like, no, eye level.
That's hilarious. But I definitely, you know, I think I shot a video or took a picture a while ago and I posted it on my Facebook, and I got several texts from family members saying, we don't need to see your nose that close. I've gotten the text from family members saying, remove that picture off your social media.
Right.
This does not look right, or this does not look right. I have a whole like QA.
That is funny.
That pops up.
That's funny, but it makes sense because this isn't what you do. You know what I mean?
So
you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And so just trying to help business owners, I actually was shooting that earlier, and I'm going to post it just for free, just so people can have some quick tips on how to do those videos, so that way they don't feel, you know, like, why is this not working? Well, you got to sit facing the window, not with it behind you, so that we can see you. You know, so
right.
Just helping people.
So my question to you is, where are you going to post this? Where can people connect with you so they can make sure they don't miss your awesome content?
Awesome. Thank you for asking. So you can always go to my website, bluechildentertainment.com, and I will be launching my Blue Child Entertainment YouTube page, where I'll start to have a lot of tutorial videos just to help people. And if you're still feeling stuck after getting those quick and easy tips, I'm doing one-on-one consulting. So if you want me to look at your setup, I can do that for you as well.
Oh, that's awesome. So you sound like you have a lot of things going on.
Always.
All of our filmmaker buffs. What are you doing for filmmakers and fans of film?
Awesome question. So I actually have an organization called Women of Color Filmmakers, and I help female filmmakers from all walks of life kind of learn more about the filmmaking process, how to make their independent films look more polished and professional. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, with COVID-19, we've taken that virtual. And so we've been doing online virtual events. We had something the other day called Script to Screen, where we read scenes from studio films, and then we watch those clips to see how much of the script actually made it in.
We have
a director's workshop coming up to help independent filmmakers or first-time directors learn about the directing process, which we will be doing virtually.
Aspiring Tyler Perry's and Ava DuVernay, they can definitely get connected to some great resources. That's awesome.
Yes.
Definitely. So what films have you guys dissected lately?
We actually just dissected on Tuesday night. We did If Beale Street Could Talk. Yes, it was really good. We lost you for a second.
I was saying I love that film, If Beale Street Could Talk. I thought that film was just, it was so beautiful. Beautifully done. I mean, Regina King has really just evolved into this phenomenal actress, but just the whole ensemble in that film It was just beautifully shot. The music was perfect. I mean, just the whole emotion, like, that movie was phenomenal.
Exactly. And Barry Jenkins is phenomenal. You know, he did Moonlight first, and then he did Beale Street Could Talk. And he actually wrote those films back to back. So he says those are like, to him, they kind of belong together in his mind. Even though Beale Street Could Talk is an adaptation of James Baldwin's book.
Yeah, I actually, I saw both films. I saw Moonlight and I saw If Beale Street Could Talk. But, you know, there's just something about James Baldwin's work.
Yes.
Something about his work that's just like, I don't know what's the right adjective. It's just powerful. It's powerful.
Yes, exactly. It's
powerful. Mm-hmm. And when I watch old film of James Baldwin speaking or relaxing in Paris or whatever, like, that is one self-possessed man.
Exactly.
His words resonate through time.
Yes, they do. Him and August Wilson, I feel, are like that.
Absolutely. August Wilson, who wrote Fences. I saw the film Fences with Viola Davis and Denzel Washington. And I'm a big fan of Black theater. And I had the opportunity to be a part of Wine in the Wilderness presentation at Cal State Dominguez many years ago. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw that Census was coming to film, of course I saw it. Viola Davis earned that Academy Award.
Yes,
I read on Facebook, somebody said, with that snot bubble, she Academy Award. Burst that snot bubble. And I was, that was a powerful scene. That whole movie was just like, I mean, Viola Davis and Denzel Washington. I don't know if they'll ever do another film together again, but.
Yes.
That
Once was they used a to work together a lot. I think they used to work together a lot in theater in New York. So they had a working relationship, which is awesome. Because I think they did Fences as the play together.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why that film was so powerful is because they had done the play so many times in the past.
Yep.
They knew that script inside and out. They knew the story inside and out. And that was just a great film.
Exactly. I totally agree.
You know, it's like stories like that, you know, just when you see yourself on the screen, it's like, wow. Dealing with your issues that you can relate to.
Exactly. Which is why I felt like having women of color filmmakers was so important. Because, you know, yes, we're starting to see more African-American films, but what about the Indian women, you know, or Latino films or Asian films? Like, it's still very... very, you know, narrow window. And even when you see the top directors, you know, they had this list that came out that was all the top Black directors. The only female was Ava DuVernay. There's something wrong with that. You know?
You know what? There's a, I forget the name of the woman who directed Mudbound.
Yes.
She did Daughters of the Dust and, was it Daughters of the Dust and Mudbound? I think
it was Daughters of the Dust.
Yeah, so both of those films, like Mudbound, like that film, it was so crazy. Like I was watching the intro and I was just like, that film made you think. And I tell you, Mary J. Blige, she acted her butt off.
She was excellent.
She was phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's like the older I get, the more and more I appreciate Mary J. Blige. She is just incredible.
Yes. She wears her heart on her sleeve. You know what I mean?
We love Mary. That's why we love her.
I was just looking at the director also did Bessie with Queen Latifah.
I saw that too. I saw that. That was great. That was a great film.
And Pariah. That was her other one.
I did not see Pariah, but
I haven't seen that one.
I heard of Pariah. Actually, did I see Pariah? I know what it's about. A young lady who's either in her late teens or early 20s in New York, I believe.
Right.
Bessie was good, and Mudbound was just like, wow. That was a great film. I felt like people didn't pay enough attention to that film.
I agree. I agree. Sometimes those movies are hard to watch, though. Like, that was, Mudbound was something I could only watch once. It makes me upset.
You know what? I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. As people are quarantining, what films do you recommend for them to watch to expand their film palette, if you will? What do you recommend?
Well, my film palette is pretty broad. What I just watched the other day was Motherless Brooklyn. That's Ed Norton's movie that he wrote and directed. It's also a book adaptation. It's about a detective that has Tourette's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's Motherless Brooklyn?
Motherless Brooklyn. It was actually really good. And so for me, because I'm a movie geek, I like to watch the movies and then look for commentaries with the directors and writers to kind of see how they put that process together.
Right.
And I highly recommend that because it's really fascinating. Like, it's really fascinating to see how these movies are developed, how they come along, and how long it takes. You know, he was working on it for a long time.
Absolutely.
The other one that I absolutely love, mainly because it was a diverse female cast, was Hustlers. That was based on the New York Times articles about the real women who were
before
the 2008 crash.
Uh-huh.
And reading how that came together and then how the movie was made, fascinating. Right. And then of course J-Lo was just like phenomenal in that movie.
Right.
So yeah, that's a good one. I don't know if you like horror. It wasn't really scary to me though. So yeah, I like all kinds of movies. Dr. Sleep was good. I like that movie. You know, it really just depends on what you're into. You know what series is good on Amazon Prime is Hunters. Have you seen that?
I watched Hunters. And let me tell you, I couldn't stop watching. Binge watched that in like less than a week. The whole
thing.
I really liked it because it really drove home the idea of things are not as they appear, and that seems like that's a prevailing theme of the life we're currently all collecting. Is that things are not as they appear.
Exactly.
Right. So I thought Hunters was really, really good. You know, when you talked about films that take a long time to bring to fruition, one film that took many, many years to bring to fruition that I'm a big fan of is City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh,
is it 1,000 planets or 10,000 planets? It's called Valerian. Valerian, City of a Thousand Planets.
I haven't seen that one.
That one is done by the same director and filmmaker that did Fifth Element.
Oh, I love him.
Yes. I forget his name. He's French. I believe he's French. But Rihanna is in Valerian. And I'm trying to think who else. What's her name? The model. She's a model, actress. I think she's friends with Taylor Swift. I forget her name, but she's in the movie too.
Yeah, Clive Owen, Ethan Hawke. Yeah.
Oh, and Herbie Hancock is in the movie.
I just saw
that. Herbie Hancock is in the movie. I remember when I saw Herbie in the movie, I was like, oh, Herbie Hancock. Oh,
wow. I'm going to have to watch this one. Yeah, I hadn't seen this one.
Yeah, that one, I remember when it was coming out, I was like really, really disappointed that people didn't give it more of a chance. It really didn't do really that good in the theaters, but I think as people are quarantined, that's a movie that they should definitely take a look at. So,
right. And you know, it's interesting you say that because that's something that people don't realize too, like what it takes to get a movie made. There's so many factors and elements.
Right.
And then things happen and you wonder, why did this movie sit on the shelf? Well, it could have nothing to do with the directing or the actors. Or it has all to do with the fights between the production companies. And, you know, there's so much involved because there's so many hands in the pot.
Things
happen a lot where movies get shelved because of that.
Right. Yeah, you have the production. Because, you know, making a movie is like making a business from scratch.
It really is.
It's like making a business from scratch, and you don't have the luxury of failing once and trying, you, I mean, you literally got to get it right the first time out the gate.
Right. And everything right, from not just the making of it, but how you market it too.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, one movie that I mean, it is a little gritty, but I really liked it, was called Destroyer, starring Nicole Kidman. And
I've heard of that one, but I
they put like prosthetics, so she looks horrible in that movie intentionally. Like they put stuff to make her look bad, and she's just a down and out detective. But I felt like they marketed the movie wrong, because everything was Nicole Kidman. How you've never seen her before? Nicole Kidman, Nicole Kidman.
No,
okay, what's the movie about though? You know,
right.
I get it. You're right. We've never seen her look like this. She's always glamorous and beautiful, but
what's the story?
Right.
Yeah.
They just didn't market it properly. And I think the film, and this is just my humble opinion, I feel
But you're right. You know, Game of Thrones just concluded last year. And one of the things that one of the characters said in the final episode was, you know, there, you know, a story is so powerful and everybody relates to it. And, you know, that was a line in the movie, but it resonated because it's so true. It was like people love a great story.
That's right.
It's love a great story, especially something with some unexpected twists and turns. People love a great story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, you know, how can, you know, business owners harness this is my final question. How can business owners harness the power of their story effectively in video?
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome question. I would say, number one, be authentic. You know, definitely write it out, but think about the pain points that a lot of people are dealing with right now and how your business can help solve that.
Right.
While incorporating what it is that you're dealing with in your personal life. Like, for example, for me, you know, within 3 days of us being going into lockdown, I lost all my bookings because I do a lot of event photography and videography. And so it was definitely having to figure out how to pivot. I am a service-based business. Usually I'm with you. I mic you and I shoot you. And you
know, how
can I transition that into help still doing what I do and helping other people and sharing that part of my story that I had to figure out how to pivot to, so I understand what you're going through. Here are some tips and ideas that can help you be able to better do your business online. So definitely considering what other people are going through and sharing how your story can help solve that problem through your business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's the main thing.
That's powerful.
And especially, you know, we are, especially because of social media, I think we've always been this way, but social media has brought this out of us. We're all voyeurs. We like to see what other people are doing. You know, and, you know, even though after a while you get sick of seeing food videos and things like that and photos, but we like to know what other people are doing. Sometimes we're inspired by it. Sometimes we're like, oh, my God, I wish you would stop posting selfies. But you're still looking at them. I don't care. So, you know, sharing those things makes you more human. It means when this is all done, people will appreciate you and your business so much more because they saw the compassion in you.
Right.
That's where it starts. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, Landy, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z. And I thank you so much for just sharing your insight about documentary making, filmmaking, and just telling your story as a company. And please, one more time, please share how people can connect with you online.
Sure. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. This was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. And if you guys are needing my services or you need help or you need some consulting as you're dealing with pivoting and going virtually, or if you just want to see some of my work, you can always find me at bluechildentertainment.com. And if you're interested in learning more about prostate cancer and how you can take better care of yourself if you're a man or if you're a woman or a caretaker who has a husband who's ornery and don't want to listen, you can always go to thesilentkillerdoc.com. You can watch our trailers, and we also have connections to helpful educational information on prostate cancer through various nonprofits that we work with.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you
no
so
problem.
Much for being here. And until next time.
Yes, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.